So on the same day we learned yesterday, you'll recall that Tony Hayward is losing his CEO job
at BP
and being packed off to Russia. BP also took a $32 billion charge on what it estimates the costs ultimately to be if they're not liably criminal in criminal terms for the cleanup there in the Gulf and the oil spill in the Gulf. Certainly, if you spill oil into a body of water, you're going to pay for that. There is a cost of doing business.
That's correct.
Environmental contamination has its cost. But is that cost different? And you know, for instance, is Tony Hayward going to Russia because Russians wouldn't be as offended as Americans are by Tony Hayward's view of the environment? How granular is this issue of environmental concern around the world? Because there is oil drilling going on everywhere on this planet. Yeah. Peter Moss joins us. He's a contributing writer at the New York Times Magazine and author of Crude World, The Violent Twilight of Oil. The book's coming out in paperback on August 10th. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
So did you kind of have a light go off in your head when they announced that Tony Hayward's going off to Russia to deal with oil drilling over there, with the idea being that there maybe is less accountability or concern about environmental disasters in the country that brought us Chernobyl?
Well, certainly a lot of people go to Siberia when they're sent into exile. But it is kind of an interesting symbol of sorts of what really is going on in the world, in the sense of the fact that we may regulate more or want to regulate more or reduce more of the drilling that's going on offshore America doesn't mean at all that everything also is slowing down or stopping overseas. In fact, in a very small way, the more that we kind of cut back, the more that we regulate, the more that it just outsources
right. All
of the extraction that we still need to have occur on our behalf, the more that occurs elsewhere, further beyond our borders, further, most importantly, out of view, where perhaps the regulations aren't as strong as they are or will be here, and where perhaps there's a lot more in the way of pollution that we don't really care about because it's not washing up into our backyard.
Well, let's take a tour of the world a little bit from the perspective of, Crude World, your book about the violent twilight of oil. $32 billion, that's the cost of an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, but would it cost that much if, say, the oil spill was offshore in Nigeria?
Well, not at all, because the companies wouldn't be forced to pay it because the spills wouldn't really be known in the way that they're known here. I went to Nigeria, and it's really, many decades long environmental disaster there. When you go into the Niger Delta, what's happened there hasn't been like a grand spill of a dramatic sort that you see in the Gulf of Mexico. It's been literally kind of a drip over years and over decades, so that in the Niger Delta, which is like the Everglades in Florida, or should be, it's kind of an environmental dead zone where you don't have plant life, where you don't have fish in the waters, where the air is toxic to breathe because of all the illegal flaring of natural gas that goes on. And so the result is that you have an oil spill disaster that really nobody pays attention to. And I saw this there because it's just one drip at a time. You go into these waters in the Delta and you see from the wellheads oil and processing liquids just dripping into the waters, and there's a sheen of oil and oil-like liquid on top of it. But because this has been going on for so long, and because it's difficult to access the Niger Delta, because it's difficult to access so many of the places in the world where oil is extracted, difficult because of political problems,
right. Because
of dictatorships, etc., we have the same sorts of disasters, even worse ones, but beyond our view.
Well, there's an economic question here. I mean, we've seen in the early part of the 21st century, and certainly the latter part of the 20th century, that downward, that outsourcing of industries to low-wage places in the world puts downward pressure on wages here in the United States. Does outsourcing and accelerated offshore drilling in places like Nigeria and Indonesia and other places in West Africa put sort of downward pressure on our, or maybe upward pressure on our tolerance for environmental degradation, that people in Louisiana will basically be pressured economically to look the other way at the destruction of the Everglades if they want to have jobs?
Well, the people of Louisiana, perhaps, I mean, it's kind of always been the case. I mean, Louisiana has been living with a tremendous amount of environmental pollution from not just the offshore oil drilling, but as well kind of refinery. That's also the case in Texas, too. So I don't think actually that the people of Louisiana, or of Texas for that matter, have kind of lived in wonderful bliss of the damage that
right.
oil extraction and refining can incur on a population. I mean, in some ways, the problem for these people is that they're addicted to these jobs that they need to have because there are no others, because their economies are oriented so much around the oil and gas industries. And it's not just that there's a drive down in terms of costs, in terms of jobs, et cetera, but it's also that there's a narrowing of opportunities, economic opportunities for other industries in those places.
Let's finish our tour around the world. If we went to Angola, what would we find, or Kazakhstan?
Well, the real what you find there is a lot of oil extraction that's been done by American oil companies. And in a way, what you would find of most interest, in a sense, is what you wouldn't find. And bear with me, because what I mean is that these are countries that are real dictatorships. And so there's no freedom of the press in either of these countries. So when there is, let's say, an oil spill of, you know, a small or medium sort, when there's a release of gas, when there's an accident on a oil rig or something of that sort, you don't hear about it, you don't know about it. So there's a kind of a blanket of secrecy over these problems. And we saw in America, in the Gulf of Mexico with the BP, that this company, even in a very democratic open system, was able for a while to repress information, the video feeds from underwater, for example. So in these countries like Angola, Kazakhstan, the list goes on, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, etc., you almost don't know what is happening there in the way of pollution, et cetera, because of so much secrecy.
There's a very real prospect, then, that Tony Hayward going off to Russia might be saying to himself, what a relief getting away from CNN and underwater cameras and all that. Man, it's the way we do business most other places in the world. Peter Maas?
Well, you know, when you go to Siberia, which is an area of a large amount of oil extraction in Russia, you know, how many journalists are there that are
right.
going to be able to report openly and freely on what's happening there
That's
in the way of oil extraction,
and you can what's
happening there in the way of corruption, et cetera? It's a nice place to operate if you don't want a lot of people looking over your shoulder.
It's easy to have your life back in a place like that. Peter Maas, contributing writer at the New York Times Magazine, author of Crude World, The Violent Twilight of Oil, coming out in paperback on August 10th.